Hello and welcome to the 150th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, this is the 150th episode. We started the last year of Daryl Dickey's tenure, which was quite a season. And here we are 9 years later with one winning season.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, I don't know about the having fun part, but we do love our school. We love our North Texas football. But why does it always happen this way?
I wish I had an answer for you, but that game against Iowa, and again, we weren't expected, I don't think a rational person would have thought we're going to win that game on the road, but we did want to have a better performance. We wanted to see, that we could be competitive, sort of similar to that game against Georgia on the road back in 2013. But, unfortunately, it just wasn't meant to happen. They just took us out to the woodshed. There's just no other way to sugarcoat that. It was just
they didn't just take us out to the woodshed. We gladly went along.
Hey, did you guys hear about SMU?
I
was trying to throw it in there.
Yeah, you're trying to redirect.
Yeah,
I understand.
Totally trying to redirect.
Because they definitely.
Can we switch topics?
They crapped the bed as well. But we've just got to figure out. I'm sitting there and wondering why season after season we have to pull this. McNulty is a guy. Greer comes. I just don't understand how it could always be so disappointing.
Well, the coaches think McNulty's the answer. Or let me restate that. The coaches think he's the best that we got. And as a fan, it's painful to continue to watch him go out there and not be successful and not make the throws and have the turnovers. And, I mean, it's nothing personal against Andrew McNulty, man. He's a great kid. He's a great student. I mean, he's done everything they've asked him to do. But you just can't help but wonder, what if somebody else got a shot? What if DeMarcus Smith got some time? And I just feel like, by the time DeMarcus Smith and, of course, Josh Greer got into that Iowa game, Evan, it was over. It was so far gone that they didn't really get that much of a shot to show us what they could do.
Did the coaches paint themselves into the corner?
Yeah. I mean,
as far as McNulty's the guy, DeMarcus is not it, Greer's second.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to go back to just quarterback evaluation over the past 4 or 5 years. We haven't recruited, apparently, we haven't recruited a quarterback that is capable of consistent good quarterback play, not named Derek Thompson, I guess. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line right now is that we haven't had any good we have not had good quarterback play outside of one person, and every time we think we've got one, something happens and it doesn't work out, and most of those guys that didn't work out aren't even here anymore and or got shown the door or whatever.
So
they did paint themselves into a corner, and I don't really know if there's any other way around it to say that. What other answer is there, I guess, now?
Well, let's talk back. And we could obviously go back all the way to Mayer and come back through the list of, but we're talking different sets of coaches, different circumstances, Andrew Smith, all those things came up. But let's just talk in the time McCarney's been here. The quarterback evaluation, of quarterback talent evaluation, where are we in that? How can this year in and year out we take chances and still not be able to plug something in when one AA school's managed to find stuff?
It's a tragic flaw in this regime. It there's no way to say it any other way. I mean, basically, there has not been, other than Derek Thompson, and I would say with Derek Thompson, it was for 1 year. I think Thompson gave the program 1 year of pretty decent quarterback play, although a lot of Derek Thompson's success came off of that defense. A lot of Derek Thompson's success came off special teams and in other areas. That wasn't just a Derek Thompson program that got all those wins. But it is something you're scratching your head and you say, well, is it recruiting? Is it the system? I mean, North Texas runs the ball. Does that keep the top-notch quarterback talent from deciding to come here? I don't know. I think you have to go back and reevaluate what went wrong? What do we do? What could we do differently going forward? And I think that the coaches have to be thinking about that right now because they are in a bad spot.
Yeah, and you talked about Derek Thompson was recruited by Dodge.
Yeah.
So when you start looking really at this group here with the Berglund fiasco, the Dejon Williams, when you start looking at all these, what happened here? What is that? What there's got to be a pattern. Something just can't be this bad. I know we've historically run the ball. We've had some really good running backs come through here, but at some point you have to think we've got to be able to find something in there.
They didn't recruit Thompson, but they developed him. He had his best year under their tutelage, so they did something right with him. But you're right. I mean, you can go down the list. I mean, they have not evaluated quarterbacks well in this program, and it's killing us right now. The other thing is we don't really know. I mean, what about Connor Means? What about DeMarcus Smith? I mean, these are guys. DeMarcus Smith was an All-American junior college player. I mean, he did something right.
Yeah. So, and answer that. And Ashton, you're probably the best to answer that. Why? And obviously, dude, we don't want to keep rehashing things we've talked about. But if DeMarcus Smith was so good at the junior college level, what happened between there and here? The curse of the white squirrel.
What? Okay, DeMarcus Smith. Let's not forget a couple of things. He got beat out at like two or three different schools, right? I mean, it's not like he just ended up at North Texas because he had a list of places to choose from and he just chose here. And it's not like this is his first stop. So I was never overly excited about DeMarcus Smith to begin with. Now, I hope that something happens and if we do play him, he comes out there and does more than what I've seen in practices and then training camp when I saw him. I mean, if I assessed him in August and I said, great arm, wasn't overly crazy athletic. He wasn't Dejon athletic. And he made some really erratic throws and he wasn't very consistent. This week, it's the same thing. I mean, nothing's really changed with my assessment of DeMarcus Smith. So I don't really know if that makes me say, hey, let's throw him out there and he's going to change anything. I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where I don't really know what to expect anymore. Connor didn't have a great camp. And I think if he did, I think the guy who had the best camp was playing and starting for us. Now, again, that's not a huge indictment on how great McNulty was. I just think that was our best option, and therein lies the problem. And we keep rehashing that kind of over and over, and it's just that's the problem. It's not that McNulty was flat out a world beater. He was the best option, and now we're seeing that might be a bad situation.
And you bring up a good point. It's part of the problem. There's a lot of other problems with this team right now. I mean, when you see the defensive line getting pushed back, I mean, that Iowa offensive line was pushing our defensive lineman back, 2 feet every time they snapped the ball. We're not playing good on special teams. We're not doing – I mean, somebody posted on the board this week our pass protection – we are lining up, I'm telling you guys, 10 yards away from the wide receiver every single
third and six, and we're 10 yards off their receivers.
I think that it's easy to use the players as a scapegoat and say they could be playing better, they're not executing, but there's something going on with the scheme here too. I mean, it has to be there has to be some changes. There have to be some – you got to kind of change with the flow of the game, and I don't know that we've been able to do that very effectively this season.
All right, so where do we go from here? At what point – I mean, we don't exactly have a buttercup schedule coming up here. We've got
– No, we don't.
We have a Portland State team, the one we scheduled for homecoming, who's ranked. Are you kidding me?
They're ranked lower than James Madison, though, right?
They're 14th and James Madison's 7th.
Yeah.
But we all know what happened with SMU and James Madison. And that was just, you want to talk about, just even more pain. Not only to lose that game as badly as we did, but then to come to find out that Baylor scored, 120 points on Rice? And then SMU lost to an FCS school.
Well, and then SMU fans are, I'm sure, kicking themselves because they played TCU pretty damn strong.
But what does that say about our program when, you know, Mac's been out there saying, wow, SMU's really improved. They're really good this, you know, I think, you know.
Coach speak.
Well, it is coach speak, but I'm just saying you kind of feel like, golly, SMU's not really that good. And Rice is not really right. that good.
Well, and then it goes back to last year when we beat the crap out of SMU. And you just, you know, there was, we thought we had something and we didn't. So my question is going forward, what are we going to do? What does the recruiting class look like this year? I'm starting to wonder about not just quarterback recruiting, but overall recruiting. T. Gorey finally caught his first reception.
He also dropped, I think, two balls, by
right.
the way.
Right, and I'm sitting here going,
there you go.
Well, but this was the first time we've thrown to him.
No, yeah. we've talked about that. We threw to him twice at the SMU game. One was an overthrow, one was an interception. So, but yeah, I know. I mean, that's, yeah. I'm helping your point for sure.
I was really anxious to see him on the thing because he was such a highly touted recruit. He redshirted. We're like, all right, we get him in there, and it just seems like, what? We're not using him.
Yeah.
And when our players, I'm sick of our star players being guys that are walk ons. I'm very happy that they're walk ons. I'm very happy that Carlos Harris is coming along and has done as well as he had. But my question is, what does it tell you when that's the case?
It doesn't. It tells you have not evaluated talent and you've not got it done recruiting wise. And the reality of it is, you can make changes prospectively going forward, but that isn't going to help us for 2 or 3 years down the road. You know what I mean? It's going to take time to cover that up. And I think that's when you look at, when this whole thing boils down. We had a fantastic 2013. We went to a bowl game. We won it. We had a great team that was fun to watch, and I think we all sort of felt like, hey, we finally got here. You know, we finally made it to where we need to be. And as it turns out, you know, we were on a bunch of balsa wood. I mean, we
had 17 seniors on that team that weren't coming back after that bowl game.
Bingo.
I mean, it was hard. Yeah, it was. You really had to kind of look deep. I mean, you had to kind of see the forest through the trees, I guess. You know, this wasn't going to just be great after they left, you know, and it was, I think about the spring game, we all kind of saw that like, whoa, this is sloppy. This didn't look as good. No, things weren't coming together as much as well as they were, you know, early, you know, 5 months before that. And that was hard to kind of swallow, I think. And then we got a big dose of that about 5-6 weeks into the season last year. And, you know, now we're a year later from that and we're still pissed off, you know, cause there's nothing to really, we can't find there was no light. I mean, there's nothing
well,
really, you
yeah,
know, I mean.
Let's look at next year. I mean, if let's just say the season ended now, we're looking forward to next season.
No, I mean.
Well, you don't have a quarterback. I mean, you don't have a quarterback. I think there is one ray of hope in my mind, and that's Jeffrey Wilson. I do feel like Jeffrey Wilson is a special talent, and it showed at times on the field against Iowa. And I think he's a guy that could be really, really, really good, but you know, you can't put it all on his shoulders alone.
What about Loving?
Loving's
good,
Loving
but he's
again,
gonna, yeah. he's a senior. I mean,
is he a senior?
He's not a senior. Junior, right?
No, he's a senior.
Yuck.
Somebody look that up.
Yeah.
All right.
I need some hope.
Whatever.
But
I
Jeffrey
mean,
Wilson's a sophomore, so you got 2 more years. You could build your running game if he can stay healthy. You've got the potential there. I think you can tweak some things in the offensive line. You know, I think there's some young
musical
guys.
Musical chairs in the offensive line needs to stop, by the way. This Banigou went back to starting left tackle, and Jordan Murray wasn't hurt because he got in later in the game.
And Max said that I was because he wasn't practicing well. But, you know.
Well, you can't have musical chairs on your offensive line, though. I mean, that's one thing that has to be. I mean, that's a cohesion. They have to be playing together. They got to work off each other. There's a lot of things. I mean, offensive line is. Kind of goes under the radar in terms of importance and you know, with playing together. I mean, you have to kind of find a groove, and you know, it kind of goes overlooked, I think, sometimes, and just, you know, people don't really think about that much. But one of our best parts about our 2013 team was we had an offensive line that had a lot of snaps together. Now, we thought that offensive line was going to be really good last year, but they were battling some injuries. Cyril was playing out of position the whole time. Mason was hurt basically half the year, and so was Antonio. So, you know, last year wasn't the greatest example because those guys had played together. But this year, the thing I want to see is I want those guys to keep playing together. I want them to find 5 guys that give them the best chance and just let ride it out. And maybe in 2 weeks, after getting their asses kicked a couple times, they'll start gelling more. And yeah. I there's a few things. I'll run through these real quick. You know, the three things dislikes and likes about the Iowa game, outside of the obvious. Start with dislikes. Missed tackles, not wrapping up. This started in the SMU game. We would make a good play, and then we'd make five bad defensive plays. Jerrion Roberts should have had another sack. He had one, but I think he should have had another one where he kind of jumped on the guy's back and whatever, Beathard, just kind of shrugged him off and I think ran for 15 yards after that. So that kind of sucked. Drops. Jeffrey Wilson had a deep ball that was right in his hands and dropped it.
That was a touchdown.
He outruns the hell out of that guy. Gorey missed another ball that should have been caught. I think that was on third down or maybe second and long, and that would have put us at third and short. That's frustrating because, again, this is the guy that's supposed to come in here and do some stuff. Way too much space between the defensive line and the quarterback when we're on defense. The quarterback dropped back, and he had 6 or 7 yards, and it wasn't like he was taking 15-step drops.
We never blitzed until the second half, and we would keep going with four guys against like eight huge Iowa grain-fed offensive linemen, and that quarterback had all day long.
When you're that outsized on the offensive line and the defensive line, you've got to take some chances and blitz a little more. I wish we could have had some guys go up the middle. Send Anthony Walsh up the middle. Send Gardner up the middle. Something. Just do something to kind of disrupt. They were too big, and they were just kind of pushing us around. We're kind of an undersized defensive line anyway. So
as if Kosh said, We're gonna hold off on this blitzing until the second half, and that way we'll surprise them with it. And just said we're not gonna adjust. We're gonna stay with four the whole first half. Oh my God, it's 40 points on the board. I mean, you gotta make an adjustment there.
The things I did like, if there was anything, Brandon Gardner is really starting to. This is a young guy that is starting to really show some promise. Two tackles for a loss. He read that one, that little bubble screen. He ate that guy up, and he was recruited pretty high. He had the Purdue scholarship on the table. I think that he's starting to really come around, and maybe we're going to start cooping some of those fruits. The running game, when we start moving, when we got three guys that can run the ball pretty well. Jimerson dances too much still, and I love the fact that the commentator was talking about him dancing too much. That was more than hilarious. Jeffrey Wilson's an obvious, and then Willie Ivory's great in space. Mix those guys up, do it more often, do a three-back rotation, change it up a little bit. This might be kind of sad to say that I liked this, but the offensive potential in the third quarter, there were two drives, the first two drives of the third quarter, we had drives of 11 plays and 15 plays. And, one of those ended up in a field goal, the other one I think ended up in a fumble, unfortunately. But 15 plays and 11 play drives against the Big Ten defense at the beginning of the second half when the starters are still in there, that's not a bad thing. So I think we have some potential. It's just, maybe we need a different guy behind center. Maybe we need to run the – I still think we should run the ball more. I'm sorry. I think right now if we're not passing the ball well, run the ball more because our running game is actually looking pretty decent. And we got Jeffrey Wilson. He's healthy. Let him run wild. Put Willie Ivory in the flats. Put him in in space.
I can hear you there, but I think we saw at SMU we tried to get the running game going. We had to try to open it up a little bit. Offensive line is not what it was a few years ago to be able to do that every down. It's just I don't think we can. We've got to be able to spread it out.
Something that also kind of when you do an up tempo, you have to have the correct offensive line to do the up-tempo. And I always wondered if Jordan Murray was going to be great for that because he doesn't really move that well. Especially, he has to work on his footwork a little bit. He's just a monster. I mean, he's huge. So if you get the up-tempo offense, you better damn well hope that your line is keeping up with it. And they're getting in their spots. They're getting the plays in time. They're going through all their cadences. They're realizing what's going to happen. At SMU, they looked really uncomfortable with the up-tempo offense, and that was unfortunate because they'd been practicing with it for 4 weeks. But, I wonder if it's a personnel thing that we're dealing with, too. Maybe that's why the musical chairs on the offensive line is happening, because we can't figure out how to get the right guys in there, maybe the right guys for the right plays.
Did you hear the guy early in the game against Iowa when McNulty ended up just running it, and he got about 5 yards? And the announcer said, "Well, see, there's a problem with having to for the defense to have to face a dual threat quarterback."
You're that's just not grasping, dual threat.
The
just
best line.
Straws at that point.
The best line, though, from the announcers was when the game got really out of hand. They had the great Star Wars reference. They were like, Alderaan. Boy, this has become the Death Star versus Alderaan.
It's a mod. Was Ahmaud Brooks the one who said that?
I don't know,
but that was just like, wow.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I looked at my wife while I was watching the game with them. We just kind of smirked because that was, she goes, so does that mean that you guys are Alderaan? I was like, yeah, we're about to get blown up.
And let me just say this too, because I had this note to follow up on. If you're going to play the backup quarterbacks, you know, they waited so long to get those guys into the game. I mean, it was just like, it was so over by the time they got in there. I just think it's hard to evaluate when there's a 40, 50 point lead on the scoreboard.
So,
because, I mean, honestly, DeMarcus barely got any plays, and Josh Greer, you know, they were blitzing. I mean, the line was blitzing, you know, 10 guys on him. I just felt like, you know, that game was over a lot long. They kept McNulty in too long. That's what I'm going to say. They kept McNulty. If he's your starting quarterback, there was nothing to be gained by keeping him in the game as long as they did.
So they brought him in just because it was out of hand to try to get some experience to these other guys? What was the plan?
My point is that that game, they could have brought those guys in a lot sooner and gotten a more actual good reps than just bringing him in at the very, very last part of that game. I think they kept McNulty in too long. And actually, if McNulty's your guy, why would you risk injury in a game that you're already – it's over. You know what I mean? I disagreed with that strategy.
All right, so let's move on to what the rest of our season looks like. I feel like there need to be changes made somewhere. We're 0-3.
I'm sorry. I think changes need to be made somewhere.
That's my analysis right there, because I think it's very telling.
Well, Evan's right. I mean, morale is
I've
all time low.
I haven't seen it. Here's the thing: we got a lot of new fans that really came in maybe a year before our bowl season. They were here for the bowl game. Everybody was excited, and now these people that are in the room are getting a taste of what we've had for so many years.
Yeah,
mediocrity. So we play Southern Miss this weekend. How are we going to play against them? I know that they haven't shown a lot of defense this year.
Yeah, but I watched a good amount of
athletes there, man.
That Nebraska game, they were right there. And let me tell you something: their line is big. They're physical. I think they brought in a lot of transfers. I don't know, but they look different than the teams we've seen the last couple of years. And of course, they beat us last year.
I understand that they lost 28-36, but the week before they played Texas State and lost or won 56-50. So Texas State hung 50 points on them.
They've got a good coach. They're improved over last year. Again, they beat us last year. So I think it's going to be a big challenge, especially the way this program plays on the road right now. I mean, we were talking earlier about our road record. I mean, it's not pretty, guys. It's not pretty.
If anybody cares to know, we are 1-38 in non-conference road games since 2001.
Never tell me the stats. Never tell me the odds.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
All right. Well, let me just go
one
back.
1-38. 1-38.
I mean, just looking at some of how Southern Miss has played, I'm hoping that, you know, this is a game. Let's be honest here. This is a game after things are tough. We look horrible. Sometimes we'll come back and go,
we'll
pull one out. And we're like, what? What is this? Who
it's
are these
hard
guys?
To lose every game. It's hard to lose every game. It really is.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, it's challenging.
It is. But, okay, so we got Southern Miss. Then we got a Portland State game. Hey, great job bringing in a ringer. Portland State. Then we have Western Kentucky.
Evan's spitting fire.
Evan's got like Death Star venom going out there. Is the microphone like Alderaan and you're like the Death Star?
So Portland. Then we have Portland State. Then we play Western Kentucky. You know, those guys are real pushovers. And then let's bring in Marshall. Before we finally play UTSA on Halloween, which UTSA might be our best shot, it looks like right now, because UTSA is 0-4. Now,
yeah,
here's
what they're playing games close. They're hanging tight. I mean, Colorado State beat them, but it was a close score. I think, you know, that's the thing of the UTSA fans that we don't have right now is that at least in tough games, they're playing competitive. It's close, you know, games, and it's losses. I know they're all losses, but they've been hanging tough with some decent competition. I mean, that UTSA game's not looking good for us right now.
Well, no, they got beat by Oklahoma State 69-14.
They did get beat bad by Oklahoma State, but I'm just saying, Colorado State, that's a game that they were right in. I don't have the score on my fingertips, but Colorado State's a good program, and they were right there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were. I was looking. It's 28-36, I think is what it was. Marshall, UTSA, at Louisiana Tech, at Tennessee. Then we have MTSU, Middle Tennessee there, and UTEP to close out the season.
It's not looking good.
No, and it's tough. And it's tough because being a fan, you know, getting ready for the season all here, this is a big season for – this is 5 years in Apogee. You got a lot of people that did the five-year plan on those club-level seats. You got – there's going to be a lot of people making decisions, and if they lay an egg this season, a lot of people want to see what's going to happen next year. Does the President University let this go on as a 2-3 win season?
I mean, 2-3 wins, I think.
I would hope for more. Honestly, I don't want to see the team lose, but when you look at that schedule and you're trying to be realistic on how we've played so far, we might have 3-4 wins. I don't see much more than that, unfortunately.
I don't either. I mean, I don't either. I hope so. I hope they do. I think realistically, you need to get to probably 5 wins. You know, maybe. You know, I hate to speculate about this, but the reality of it is, you've had 5 years with this regime. You don't have the old excuses anymore. I mean, you can't say, "Well, our facilities suck" or "our conference sucks." We're in a better conference. We have great facilities. I mean, everything has gotten so much better than what it used to be. And I think that expectations have to raise as well. But the bottom line, like I posted on the board, we've only got one loss in conference. It is feasible that they could come back and win some games and you know, kind of turn, you know, conference play is your second season. So I think we have to see how things play out. This Southern Miss game is huge for this program right now. We have got to win that. We've got to take care of Portland State. And then, like you said, Evan, I mean, maybe UTSA, maybe UTEP, you can get yourself to 4 or 5 wins and kind of salvage what right now looks like a train wreck of a season.
Well, and it's true. Okay, so Portland, I'm going to be Captain Happy right now.
Captain Happy.
I'm going to say, okay, let's just say we pull one out here. They're not expecting much. We've had a rough season. We can beat Southern Miss. We have a home game against Portland State.
Can't lose against Portland State if that's where you're
going. It's homecoming, so you're going to have a good crowd regardless. It's homecoming. You'll have a good crowd. So
even if we're 0-4 going to that game?
We always have a good crowd for homecoming. Okay. Even on a rainy Hellwig year, we still had a good homecoming crowd. So let's talk about that we will have a good great game there. You know, we could come back 2 seasons and then two games and then we're 2-3 and things could turn. We don't know. But is this team the kind of a team that the players are young enough and need the experience and we can start to see some really playmakers develop?
Go ahead.
I mean, I think so. You know, I mean, I'll jump on the optimistic bandwagon with you for a minute.
Oh, I was just taking a look at it.
You're not on it yet? Okay, you want to come aboard? No, yes. I mean, we do have potential. There are some playmakers. There are some athletes. We've seen flashes, very, very few flashes, but there have been some flashes. We got Jeffrey Wilson back. We all really like him. We know he can run the football well. Get him in space. He's catching some balls, too. I think he had like 97 total yards, 74 on the ground, and whatever the rest of the math is for 97. Go ahead, Evan's got
a
point.
I'm sorry, I just thought about this. I miss Kenny Byers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny adds a lot.
His tackling was the best out there, and we're missing so many
open field tackles.
He had a rough year last year after an amazing year before, but still, he is definitely missed on the field.
The players right now have to learn to win, and learning how to win is closing out games, CSMU. You know, I don't think anybody really thought we were going to go beat Iowa, but we didn't need to get our asses kicked that bad. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Rice, we were in the game, and then we lost the game. I mean, this is the difference between the 2013 team is that they knew how to win. They close out a game. When they got down by 7 points, it was like, we got this. This is church, you know, whatever. And they would go out there, and we would win. So this game against Southern Miss, just like you said, it's really important. The Rock is a tough place to play. It gets noisy as hell in there. I don't even really know why, because it's Southern Miss football. But if we can come out with a win this weekend, I think that depending on how we win, I think that is – it's going to be a really telling game, I think, because – you know, if we just sit there and say that we were going to lose against Iowa and be pessimistic, whatever, then if the players thought that, that sucks. But okay, so they lose against Iowa. You know, we had a tough one against SMU, tough one at home against Rice, but that was that was a good football team that day. They played pretty well. You know, Max said we got beat by the better team. You know, if we lose against Southern Miss, then we've got some problems, and depending on how we lose, and heading into a homecoming game, I don't care who we're playing, 0-4, not playing good football, that would be catastrophic. And if we lose that game, I think we're talking about some serious
soul searching. News.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no excuses at that point. You can't do that. I mean, SMU losing to James Madison, you know, that's you just can't do that. You'd be a laughing stock more than if you're one of the bottom teams, you know, you'd be an even more of a laughing stock, because then you're basically saying the team in a lower, you know, a lower division is better than you at your home on homecoming. I mean, it can't happen, and I'm scared.
I hope that DeMarcus Smith can get some playing time and prove himself to Mac. And
Connor Means.
And get out there, or Connor Means or somebody can come back. And I feel like we've given Andy the shot, and he just hadn't been able to get it done. We got to mix it up. I hope they'll do that this game. I hope that they won't just wait until the game's over to give the other quarterbacks a chance. That's my hope.
Radio silence.
No,
No,
I was reading a post where somebody said, "I want this team to."
Somebody's calling for Connor Means, by the way, in the chat room.
Yeah, of course, they're going to call for anybody who's not playing.
Quinn Shambore got the quickest release on the team. Quinn Shambore, get him in there.
I don't
know. How about that? No.
Wow, it is rough, and you know what? We hate to talk. We're not picking out players. We know that there's a lot of guys putting a lot of heart into this. But it takes more than guys with big hearts. It takes a lot of good playmakers. And for fans that have been around as long as a lot of us have, it's extremely frustrating year in and year out. And when Harry and I come and do these things, 150 episodes over 9 years, every Wednesday night till 11 o'clock, you get frustrated sometimes. And people are like, well, especially some of the new ones, well, you're not a fan. Well, you know what? We've been here, and it gets frustrating when all you have to hang your hat on after 9 years is one winning season. That right there is frustrating.
We don't expect a national championship.
No.
We don't. Honestly, we want to see some building. We want to see the program growing, and we want to see more wins than losses. And I don't think that's unreasonable in Conference USA, given the size of this university and the facilities that we've invested in. I think it's a reasonable thing to expect.
I think it's very reasonable. We have a great university, a growing university, a university that's got a great student vibe to it. Denton is a great place. Everybody's thinking that. It's just amazing to me that we can't pull it together. The old thing of Daryl Dickey having to recruit to an armpit of a locker room underneath the stadium at Fouts, those excuses are gone. It's got to get better, and it should have gotten better. We've had 5 years to get it better, and we had 1 year where it was good, but even that year there was games where going, what happened here? The UTSA game, the Tulane game. We've got to figure out what's wrong and make it and fix it.
And my thing is, I'm tired of hearing it's hard at North Texas. I am so tired of
hearing everybody's tired
that.
Of that one, I think, by now.
Oh, my God. I want someone to realize that, no, it's not. North Texas has a lot of great things, and you should be very successful at North Texas. I do not want to hear how hard it is. I don't want to hear why historically it's not worked out, because we're not the same place that we were. We've made tremendous investments in the last, 5-10 years. So it's just not – that excuse doesn't work for me anymore.
It's just it can't be, you know, any harder than Ruston, Louisiana.
Is that a they jalapeno tree up here?
And we switch topics to
Harry's
I
got
no
a plan
idea.
Here. All right, for those of
Peppers.
You that are for those of you that are listening in the chat room, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. For those of you listening on iTunes, you won't hear a break, but we're going to get our students' perspective today. We're going to have Brandon on with us, and he's going to give us. He actually did a couple interviews. We're going to lighten it up a little bit and listen to what some of the students had to say. So we'll be back in 1 second.
I'm taking questions about sandwiches in the chat room. Go.
All right, joining us on the line is our favorite student at the University of North Texas, who was keeping us attuned to things going up. Is that creepy? It's
really creepy.
So we got Brandon on the line with us. Brandon.
Brandon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good today. Had a lot of fun this past week, especially with this loss.
Wow. Sound a little down there.
Sounds
Brandon.
Like somebody Man. Put some money on the other team.
Brandon's about four whiskeys deep right now. He's like, screw this.
It's a Wednesday night. All right, so Brandon,
we should be four whiskeys deep, actually.
I thought we were going to do a little bit better than we did, but
all the young people that haven't been on the program long enough, they're so cute.
Yeah, you're not jaded like me and Evan are yet.
Yeah, we're quite jaded. So, Brandon, tell us, before we get into these interviews, what else do you got that you wanted to add to what we have here?
Well, I mean, the first home game was, you know, I mean, it was a great turnout. And this next home game, it's homecoming, which is, you know, good for where we're at in the season right now, in my personal opinion, because we're kind of down. Students need to have a reason to come out to the game. And right now, other than homecoming, especially after Iowa, unless we beat Southern Miss, then there's not going to be much of a reason other than, hey, it's homecoming. You got to go to the homecoming football game.
We were talking earlier, I mean, historically, even in down seasons, we've seen that there's usually a pretty good crowd that shows up to homecoming games.
If the weather holds out, there will be a good crowd.
Yes, weather is
important.
Like
this weekend, the weather looks nice, so we're hoping that the following week it'll be the same. But, yeah, we usually have a good crowd, and that's usually the turning point. If we can string some together, it's great. Because even if we're winning, those last games are iffy, just depending on what's going on.
Yeah, well, we got to remember that we got homecoming, home game, and the week after we got another home game for Western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's not going to be an easy one either.
No.
No, it's not. But, I mean, it's two home games, so maybe fans can get in the swing of supporting the team or watching them or something like that. Who knows?
All right, so, Brandon, set us up here with what these interviews here. Where'd you get these? Who are they?
All right, so I ran around campus today, and I had my phone. And I was going to get some, find out people were going to the homecoming game. And if they weren't, why not? If they were, why? What are they looking forward to? So I went around and asked random students. You know, some of them had on mean green gear. Some of them did not. Others, you know, I was just like, hey, can I talk to you about the football game? They're like, yeah, sure.
All right. So we're going to start playing these, and then we'll try to decide by their attitudes if they had mean green gear on or not. And you can tell us which ones.
You're kind of becoming our Gary Garver, you know. I mean, you're out there kind of giving us the what's going on the ground in Denton. So that this is a segment that we'll get some input from the people on the board in the chat room and stuff, and maybe try to come up with some other questions as we go along.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. So let's try this. Here we go. So this is the number one clip.
Oh, I guess I got to push play.
All right, so I'm here with Jessica. And Jessica, are you going to the homecoming football game next Saturday?
Of course.
And why would you be attending this game?
Because I have to support my team and show school spirit, especially during homecoming. All
right. Thank you very much.
All right, so
good for her.
That's a good fan there.
That was a good fan.
Should have asked her who the starting quarterback was. I would have loved that.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Come on, Brandon. I can ask the hard-hitting questions. Ask them who our starting free safety is.
I would like to know if there's somebody who says that they follow the team, ask them a question, but throw a name that's totally like that. Do you think who should be playing quarterback, Mitch Mayer or Scott Hall this season? And
Brandon didn't even know who that is. Probably he wasn't not. Born by the time those guys were
Well, here. That was the last time the quarterbacks – never mind. All right, we're going to go with number two here.
Today's word of the day is quarterback.
So, Brandon, was she wearing more North Texas gear?
She was. She was wearing a mean green shirt and then a UNT hat.
Nice. This is important. This is important. Was it a purchased mean green shirt or one of the free ones?
That doesn't matter.
All right, we're gonna just say that it was a mean green shirt. All right, here we go. Here's number two.
Okay, I'm here with Tori, and Tori, will you be going to the homecoming football game next Saturday?
Yes, I will.
And why are you going to be going?
Because it's homecoming, and it's a football game. Who wouldn't go? We live in Texas. Texas is football.
That's very true. And what are you looking forward to most?
Winning. And the band. And popcorn.
Well, that sounds like all really good things. Thank you very much.
You were lying.
Hey, I'm telling you what, as far as sample size, the students are really supporting the program right now. I mean,
two women.
Okay, well.
Yeah, and women. That's even more
two
impressive.
Two women are going
that's
to the
good,
game.
Brandon.
Yeah, that's good. So let's go to North Texas gear or not on that one?
She was wearing North Texas gear.
Wow. All right. So let's go to number three here. Let's see what we got here.
I'm here with Baloo.
Baloo?
He's a.
Hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Wow.
Was his name Baloo?
Wow. Was Mowgli with him?
It was Blue from Old School.
No, he's dead. No, he died at the end of Old School. Spoiler alert, Blue dies.
Okay, all right, I'm backing that one up. Sorry, I thought he said Blue, like Bare Necessities Blue. All right, here we go.
It is Blue.
He was named after a Jungle Book character. Holy cow. All right, we're going to try it again. Here we go.
I'm here with Baloo. He's a Mean Green fan. Are you going to the game at homecoming next Saturday?
No.
Why not?
I have to go home.
Where are you going home to?
Plano, Texas.
You can't make a day trip down to the game.
When is the game?
Next Saturday.
What time?
4:00.
No.
No?
No.
All right.
That guy was so disinterested. He wanted nothing to do with that interview.
So, Brandon, how often do you get over to the TAMS students?
I want the TAMS kid. That's the sad part.
I'm guessing he didn't have North Texas gear on, though.
Nope.
SFA shirt?
Which that's good because I don't want you just
like
to ask questions.
Yeah.
I don't want you just to ask questions of people wearing gear. I mean, we got to be equal.
No, I agree. That was great. All right,
he had no interest at all. I don't.
No,
you know.
No. Like, when is the game? All right, so that's good. The first two knew it was homecoming. The third one obviously is going for the education. Okay, here we go with the number four.
All right, I'm here with Jordan. And Jordan, are you going to the homecoming game next Saturday?
Yes.
What are you looking forward to most?
Seeing a good game.
How about a win?
That'd be nice.
Because we still are winless as of right now. We have not played our next game, but homecoming is next week. Did you go to the last home game?
No, I did not.
Why not?
I slept through it.
Okay, that's good.
He thinks it was SMU last year, I think, at 11 o'clock.
Wow. Okay, so he slept through it. Well, there's a college student for him.
But at least he's going to the next one.
You know that the first home game was pretty early. It was
we need hope. We need stuff to look for. You know what I mean? At least there's a bright, you know, something to look forward to.
All right. So what we're going to do is for the next segment next week, we need some people to go ahead and tweet out some questions for Brandon to ask some of these guys because I like this. I think we could get. It's interesting to hear if they've heard of it, if they know, or if anybody's upset about the team, or hey, you know what? As you follow your team, no matter what, so. It's good to see this. So I think we should keep this going. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a great idea. So, Brandon, let's talk about this week's game. Obviously, it's on the road in Iowa. You got a watching party? Are you going to be able to watch the game or catch
it? Iowa game already happened.
At your dorm? Or I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Thanks for helping me out, by the way.
No.
Southern Miss game. Southern Miss. So where are you going to watch it?
I'm probably going to watch it either at my dad's or wherever I end up that day. Probably down at my dad's with him, and we're just going to try and figure out how to tune into this thing. Cause
bring up a good point. It's not a very easy game to watch, is it?
You would think it's on CBS Sports Network, right?
Is it? Okay. It's CSS,
okay.
Yes.
CSS.
Yeah. So this, yeah, people are going to have to, not a lot, it depends on, a lot of people are going to have that channel. So it's going to be a tougher one to make.
So can we get a Brandon prediction for the Southern Miss game?
I hope we win so badly. We need a win against Southern Miss really badly, especially after getting absolutely demolished by Iowa. I think we need a fresh quarterback, and like we talked about last week, DeMarcus sounds like a great option. And then a year from now, Connor Means.
Hey, man, we're all in agreement, I think. Well, not Ashton. Ashton still wants it to be McNulty, but the rest of us, we're in agreement with you on that.
Ashton's hoping.
Love that threw me under the bus. Hey, Ashton, watch out for that Greyhound.
All right, Brandon, we'll appreciate you jumping on, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, Brandon. All take care.
I want a quarterback that throws the football to the players on our team, and we score touchdowns.
Hey, I want to.
That's all I want right now.
I want to thank Brandon for getting those. I mean, this could be fun because I like to hear some of those things, and I think it'd be interesting, especially after a win. What some people have to say, drunk frat girls after homecoming win would be good to hear from
at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, he can pull it off. It's all for the show. So with that, it's going to be a tough week. It's a tough. You know what? If you want to follow nothing but a winning team, then go be a T-shirt fan at some of the other schools, like people on Facebook you know that never actually went to the school. This is your school. This is the school we went to. This is who we follow.
Through
we
thick
do
and
it
thin.
Because we like, we love the university. There's a lot of good things going, just not the football program right now. So it'll turn around. We're going to have ups and downs.
And basketball seasons.
Yeah. So
E-break.
You know, losses like this and tough starts build character. And if nothing else, we've built a lot of character over the years.
So, a lot of character and a lot of tears. But
all right. Yeah. So with that, we're going to go ahead and end this week's episode. And go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.